This is Radical Love Life, an ongoing series of podcasts and special events where we explore faith outside the boxes. Hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson.
So, hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I am really good. I'm really good.
Thank you. So what happened to, what's the story with your hair?
I remember I said I was going to get my hair cut.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of getting the, who's the dude, like on the big, yes, on the,
so
on
dude,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Dude. the Big Lebowski, you're getting the look.
Yeah, like I said, I had it all set up with my barber to get my spring shearing.
He
called in sick, and then I've been doing another podcast with one of my clients.
Yeah,
and she looked at the video. And was like, "Wow, you have great hair." And I'm like, my vanity might be getting better of me. Maybe I'm like, maybe this summer.
Yeah. Let it grow out, you know?
You know, though, the first day it gets 80 degrees, though, I'll be bubbled up shaving it myself.
Maybe you shouldn't do that.
Maybe not.
Leave it to the
pros. You know what's funny? My wife actually went years ago to cosmetology school and will not cut my hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's so difficult. We're not doing this.
No, it's just because I guess I'm maybe not the best.
Oh, wow. Well, thankfully, you're awesome in other ways. You are. You're an awesome co-host with Radical Love Live. You're a great dad. You got all this other stuff going for you. Wow. So, you know, you're a little weak in that area on being a not so hot, customer, you know, barber customer.
How are you?
I'm great, actually. In fact, I'm freaking awesome.
That's what I was.
Yeah. I'm freaking awesome as always. Like, you know, things are going well with Divine all along and getting it launched and, you know, just, I am exactly where I need to be.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Also, I want to mention before we get too far that, people have a few months to plan. But yes. In October,
yes,
we're going to be at Theology Beer Camp.
Yes, we are.
In Denver.
Yes, we are.
And for people who want tickets, we have a special code to give them so that they can get a discount.
Yes.
On.
And Kelly's looking up the code.
It's Radical Hobbit, like from the Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And it's all caps.
Okay.
No spaces. Yeah, there's Lord of the Rings theme to the beer camp.
Okay. Like, so Radical Hobbit, RadicalHobbit, all caps.
Yep.
And what will our listeners get if they use that code to sign up for the Owl Beer Camp?
They get a $25 discount off their tickets.
Okay.
And they can come and look for us at the event.
Yeah. And for folks that aren't aware of Theology Beer Camp, this is something that Trip Fuller's been doing for a number of years, and it's a pretty popular event.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of days, and there's all kinds of people getting together to talk about you name it. So go to their website, go check it out. We're going to be there.
Yep. And a bunch of other podcasts.
Yep.
And like you said, Fuller's going to be there. Tom Ord's going to be there.
Yep.
John Tatamino's going to be there. Yep. It's associated with Homebrew Theology. So if you look up the Homebrew Theology podcast, you can find the information, and the tickets are available on Eventbrite.
There you go. Thank you for clarifying that. So yes. So folks, go to Homebrewed Christianity.
Oh, it's Homebrewed Christianity.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought. We'll have to cut that out. Yes. Homebrew. Sorry, Trip.
Homebrew Christianity.
Yes. I've been drinking my own homebrew this morning.
All right. So what are we going to be talking about today, my friend?
Well, we are, you know, I've told you a lot about, you know, and our listeners about my family, my background.
Yes, you have.
You know, family really has a big impact on spirituality, or can be.
Yeah, it does.
So today, we're going to introduce someone from my family.
Wow.
Okay. This is someone who is a layman, but comes from a rich heritage of Christian faith. Today we're going to introduce Rhett Wilson. He's a craftsman, avid golfer, family man, and all around super cool guy. I've told you a little about, like I said, my family heritage, but want to give you a little bit of background on Rhett's lineage, and that he can fill in some of the details, but I'll give you just kind of the top line.
Go for it.
So Rhett's great grandfather is my grandfather.
Yep.
Was Donald Lorenzo Wilson, Reverend Donald Lorenzo Wilson. He was named after the great evangelist of the 1800s, Lorenzo Dow, who was kind of an eccentric, like roamed the countryside. Our grandfather, Donald Lorenzo, was a preacher in lots of small churches in the Free Methodist or Wesleyan tradition, so really like conservative. And he and our grandmother, Vita, are regarded as the spiritual pillars of our family. To them as examples. So then Rhett's grandfather, my dad, is Donald Clifford Wilson.
Okay.
So we got Donald II.
Yep.
Who trained for the ministry. And although he later became a salesman and sold cars and is breeding horses and spent time managing real estate, he's also done work worldwide as a missionary and a preacher.
This is your dad?
My dad.
Very cool.
So Rhett's dad,
yes,
is Donald Richard Wilson. So okay. It's Donald III.
Okay.
And he's had a whole career of sales and business. And he's now a deacon in a Reformed Episcopal church and a postulant. Mm-hmm. And also a minister in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So you can see that there's kind of like
there's DNA a thread there. Yep. The DNA is strong.
Right. And then Rhett is actually Donald Rhett Wilson. So he's okay. Donald IV.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
I guess a few months ago when I went to a baptism out of town.
You did.
That was Rhett's son, Rocky Wilson, who's Donald Rockefeller Wilson.
Oh, very cool. And he's number 5?
And he's number 5. So with after all that preamble, let me introduce Rhett Wilson. Welcome.
Hello, Rhett. Thank you. Thank you for having me. The Donalds. Absolutely. I mean, I told pretty much every girlfriend I ever had that I was like, if we have a kid, the first one's gonna be Donald Rockefeller Wilson V. I'm gonna name him after America's first billionaire. And he was always gonna be Rocky.
There's something we inspired to.
Yeah. And we would always call him Rocky, you know. Inundated with, you know, the story of Rocky Balboa and, you know, just heroes have been a big part of, you know, kind of my life. And, you know, those characters that, you know, you kind of look at their story. So that's where Rockefeller and Rocky came from. And there was no chance that he wasn't going to be the fifth.
It's bookended by, you know, Rockefeller, who's got like this social status, and then Rocky Balboa, who kind of starts and ends, beginnings. And you're sort of bookended by the scope of human experience.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some weight to these names. I mean, to Rocky, to Rockefeller, and Donald. You know, I looked up the meaning of Donald, and I guess it means like king of the world or something like that.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, we can say that all day long. Yeah, I'll take it.
Sure. I guess what I'm asking is there a certain weight or a feeling of responsibility that comes with carrying a family name like that?
There absolutely is. It's something like I don't generally talk about because it gets you know, deep to a lot of people of, you know, where essentially I came from, where we came from, that, you know, it's setting yourself to a standard that isn't, you know, the norm of, you know, my dad was a super successful businessman, or, you know, my dad was Michael Jordan and I need to be the next Michael Jordan. It's so much deeper, and it's weight. It's heavy. It's, am I doing the right things to carry on and impart what the Donalds have meant to the Wilson family? And it's a load, but, you know, it's for, I would say, the last probably 5-6 years, as I've, you know, become a father and, you know, an actual adult. I just turned 40. So, like, all of those weights of, you know, what are we doing here? Am I the Donald I'm supposed to be? Has really led me to sitting and talking to you guys. You know, it's made me realize that, like, I need to do, you know, what the Donalds do, but I got to find a way to do it, you know, efficiently and respectfully and, you know, be my own self, but also carry on what, you know, Don Wooden was trying to do the whole time.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting, that idea of carrying on a tradition, but doing it your own way. Because the background that we come from is very, very conservative, very straight-laced, but that there's also, I mean, there's a thread of love and, doing things for other people. I was going to say activism, but I don't see, like, grandma and grandpa as activists, but they were definitely, like, did stuff for other people. And balancing those two, like, what are some of the ways where you've differed from what might be considered the family tradition, but then some of the ways that you've held on to it?
It was really just the same thing. You know, I listened to Uncle Greg, your brother, give his testimony. And it's, you know, that concept of being so heavily inundated in right and wrong. And I think you sent me a note that it's like, you have to do ABC to get into heaven or you're going to hell. And that made me run. That made me run as fast as I could to everything that felt good. And, you know, like I said, 40 hits a man hard, and, you know, look at your values. What are you doing? How were you brought up? What are you imparting on the next Donald? And I came running back, and I needed to find an avenue. And, like, you've always been, I mean, you and I are closer in age than you are to my dad. So,
yeah,
this was an opportunity to, you know, put out there to the rest of the Wilson family, where's Red Ben? He's like right here with Uncle Kelly talking about the Lord.
Yeah, I was just telling Mark this morning about, stories about us running around when you were, I think you were like 13 or 14. And we were at the cemetery, Rhett's family lived at a cemetery in Indiana. This is right before I moved to New York City. I kind of like went back to Indiana to regroup for a little bit.
Sure.
I think in some ways I was the bad influence uncle, or at least the uncle who's like a little different than dad. You let him do what?
Yeah.
But I treasure those days. And it's oh, like I remember a kid now looking at you as a 40-year-old man. It turns my beard.
Yeah, right.
You're a little in there.
So I got a question for you, Rhett, based on what you just shared there. So you were given the ABCs, you said, of how to do things right, and you ran. So I take it you ran away from the ABCs. Is that what I understand?
Yeah. I mean, running away from the ABCs, definitely. And I've been thinking a lot about this. It was kind of like there was a Bible box.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not in the Bible box, then you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And within that Bible box was our very, very conservative family that, I didn't really relate with a lot of my cousins. You know, the lineage of preachers, and it's just everything was just in that box. And I wanted to think outside of the box, but I knew that the principles within that box are what I needed to live by.
Right.
But outside of that box was everybody in the world who needed to see kind of what was in the box, but you don't have to live in the box.
Hmm. Well said.
I'm following.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of, it goes back to that question of, is there a ministry that you do even without being a minister?
Yeah.
And if so, what does that look like?
Yeah, that looks like my garage where I had the terrible internet connection. But when we moved here, I really found, I actually met one dude who was, you know, a very unassuming, good looking dude, but he was the first person that would really like openly talk about faith in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my whole life, whenever, you know, I got, you know, a hair up my ass to like, let's talk about, you know, the Lord, let's talk about faith and what your faith is. That's really off-putting to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a lot of comfort in him that he was like, I was somebody that he was able to talk to about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, moving down here, we kind of just came on a whim and, you know, just trying to meet people. And I've found so much comfort in being able to really tell people it's okay to explore that faith, like to, you know, like, what is your foundation? You know, it's, Crystal went out with a girlfriend last night and she was raised Catholic, and she's like, I was so fed up with the Catholic Church that, you know, she ran too. And then, her and her husband went to church and he's not a believer, and she didn't like the church because he didn't like the church. And I was like, you're just going to the wrong church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even got to go to church, just, you know, have your foundation and explore it. Like, there's so much solace in, you know, exploring being what God really wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't involve just living in that box.
So where do you go, or how do you explore those things? Like, how do you do the exploration about what God wants you to be?
It's the theology of not being an a-hole, really. Like, that's and a lot of it, you know, came down to, I mean, I was kind of a history buff of, like, you know, where religion even started, and a lot of it is fear based and all that. And if somebody has the foundation of right and wrong, then they're off to the best start they can. You know, it's it's that core value that is taught, like it's nurtured. And the basis, what I found my whole life was, you know, whether it's Judaism or Hindu or Islam, like all of them are really the basis of like, be nice to that dude. Be nice to yourself. You know, tell everybody else to be nice to everybody. Like, take it, forgive, like you are not the judge. And then if you just live that day to day, then there's not a whole lot of other instruction that you need from really anything, or as long as you are, you know, doing God's basic will of love one another, you know, don't be a dick.
I think it's biblical.
Yeah.
It is, right? That's somewhere in the Old Testament, right?
Don't be. Well, yeah, and Rhett and I were texting about this earlier about, you know, did Jesus curse? And I think he got as close, like, I think he did the equivalent of it at the time. Like, sure. When he's telling the religious leaders who are down on him, like, you guys are whitewashed tombs. Like, yeah. You know, he's telling them, like, their breath is like the rotting dead, you know, and the earth is. You know, in terms of Peter, he's like, get behind me, Satan. Right. And my favorite little Bible trivia item is that when he flipped over the tables, that he stopped for a minute and wove some ropes together as a whip.
Totally.
He was like, I'm going to, like, I really can lace it.
But yeah, I imagine cursing back in those days was a little different than what we do now. So.
Right.
You know, it's our way of doing it is much different.
Yeah. But I think Jesus could be a little rough.
Oh, I absolutely. You know, we turn him into a pacifist, you know, and like something is just limply hanging from a cross, you know, as a victim. Like, no, I think you're missing the point there. You're really, 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 really missing the point.
Yeah.
So, Rhett. Okay, so Kelly asked you or mentioned about ministry. Do you feel like you have a ministry now?
To a certain extent, yeah. Like it's been, and a lot of it is just trying to meet people. And when we moved down here, like I said, we didn't know anybody, and it's that comfort of being able to, you know, share what my faith is, and I've never done that really. And my ministry really is my garage, you know, come over, you know, let's, you know, stay up all night, drink beer and, you know, let me be the person to tell you it's okay to explore it. You know, don't be ashamed or, you know, talk about how you ran from it. 'Cause I did too. And that in itself, I feel is, ministry as much as they're going to get, you know, they're not going to seek it. And if there's, you know, somebody to tell them like, yo, we're all sinners, but you know, if you really want to explore it and see it, then that's okay. And I'll do it with you. Come to church with us. You know, it's, we got a guy who wears a denim vest and a music director that is great, and it's what it is. But yeah, I kind of believe that I do have kind of created a ministry in being open and inviting.
Well, and that kind of welcome and hospitality is really important. You know, I know that, you know, even like my, you know, I'm for some conservative Christians, I'm pretty far out there, and
yeah, they might get some,
you know, yes. And you know, queer affirming, and you know, the Bible is not inerrant, you know, I use theological tools to interpret it, But Rhett, I know that you and your family have always been really accepting of us, and you know, and I appreciate that. You know, I can see that thread of kindness has been passed down.
God is love.
Yeah, fundamentally, yes. And love is God. You know, it's those two go hand in hand. It's so easy, though, that we unfortunately forget that. Like, I know I, in my own life, I can easily, you know, just get all caught up in myself and it's like, oh, no, I'm supposed to love.
Yeah. It's, and sometimes we, you know, it's a challenge to love. You know, I was recently, I was teaching a class during Lent at my church, and, you know, we're a pretty progressive Episcopal church, you know, and I can think of, like, when I was a kid growing up in the Nazarene church, when a new election would come along, it'd be like, oh man, the Democrats are just like the devil, like Republicans own Christianity. And, you know, because of like two topics, but, you know, then the Democrats are terrible. But I'm at, you know, at my church and we're talking, and it's the same conversation, but about Republicans.
Yes, it is. Other side.
It's the exact same thing. It's you know, like, oh man, these Republicans are just terrible. They're awful. Like, why do they?
You know,
why don't they become Christians?
Yeah.
And,
right.
But I say all that just to say, you know, that in that moment to stop and be like, you know, all these people are kind of fundamentally trying to do the same thing. Like, they're all trying to fundamentally make a decent living, get, you know, take care of their family, you know, make sure that the things that they don't want done in society aren't done. But it's very hard for them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
We're let alone love each other. That's kind of like what we were talking about with Jay a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. And Rhett, so are you running into that? I mean, for example, if you were sitting around in your garage having a beer with some folks talking, and does religion come up in the context of like politics? So, I mean, how do you navigate that in your conversations?
Politics doesn't really come up.
Really?
No, I mean, it's
good for you.
Yeah.
Man, I can't resist the temptation. Yeah,
it's a pretty homogeneous society here in South Carolina. It's
okay.
You know, everybody's very conservative. But religion and I don't really talk about politics other than everything costs too much. You know, everyone thinks that I charge too much for what I do. I mean, other than that, you know, I've always took the stance on politics. Like, really, if anybody wants to talk a whole lot about politics, like, go run for office. Like, make your change. You can complain about it all day, but I mean, what are you gonna do about it? Why don't you go run for the HOA and then become a councilman, and then you can have a leg to stand on. I've never been like, talk to me about politics, because none of us really have any control of that at all. We just kind of have to take it as it comes and lead with love, and whatever the new rules are, we're gonna have to abide by those or don't, you know?
Okay, so I got a question for you then. Have you always been this way?
Yeah.
Wow. You're very fortunate, and I say that because, first of all, you just said something that's really, really hard for, I think, a lot of humans, and myself included in that, is to realize that we have no control. Like, it's only been within maybe the last, you know, couple of years with me, I'm really realizing I only have control over myself, right? And even then, that's difficult. I don't have control over anybody else, what they think, what they do. You know, I can manipulate, yes, but that's different than having control, right? And if you have been walking through your life so far with the reality that, yeah, I can't control this and I am not going to worry about it, you are onto something. So
it's let go and let God. I'm sure you guys I've been in rooms, and that was one thing that really stuck with me. And that's why I really don't care about politics because, you know, it's, we could be in a worse state. I mean, we could be in communist China 1985, you know, like.
Yeah, during the uprisings and everything else on tumultuous times. You're absolutely right. It's plenty of
examples. We are blessed for as much as, you know, every conservative and Democrat wants to complain about the other side or whatever, like we're still very blessed and where we are today. I mean, compared to the rest of the world, not everybody has a golf cart in a garage.
Wow. I love your philosophy.
Yeah. I wish I were that. I wish I had that discipline, and cause I have to remind myself, cause I will fall into, you know, a tit for tat with somebody on, you know, Facebook or, you know, even almost got pulled into it on Instagram of all the platforms. This morning.
Instagram is supposed to be about pictures,
right?
And
exactly.
Reels.
Exactly. But I get into it and then I have to remind myself. And sometimes my wife will pull me aside and be like, are you arguing with a congressperson? No. Then why are you arguing about this? Like, the person that you're arguing with is not the person who's making this policy. So,
why are
you just venting? Like, is this just like cardiovascular exercise? It's like, what do you do?
And so Anna has a very good point to back to Red. Because same thing, like, unless you are talking to the people that really make change or you doing it yourself, you're just all my stuff. But we live in a culture, unfortunately, that thrives off this. Look what's even going on this week with, you know, with the trial of Donald Trump over the, you know, in New York now. It's like, oh my God, both sides are just using it to, it's the, you know, I hate blaming the media, but it's like they are part of this problem as well. So
they love it.
They
love
absolutely. It, yeah. Well, they got to make money. And so, you know, we're saturated with it. And I agree with Rhett. Like, you know, if you just check out, but it is not easy, you know, so.
Well, I would imagine for you guys, you know, really where you live too. I mean, you're a saturated population. I mean, there's so much divisiveness in, you know, that area in New York and all that, that here, I mean, we moved here because it is homogeneous. Well, I say, like, we're all like, everybody kind of just wants to get away and not pay attention to all that and just live at the beach and play golf. And, and you know, with what you guys even do with the podcast and all that, you know, you have to navigate all that. And I don't want to do that at all.
This is not your calling.
No.
Yeah. Well, and Donald Trump was kind of our hometown boy for years before the presidential race, because he's, you know, because he was local. He's just kind of like a local, failed
king of the world.
King of the world. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to some of our family background, you know, I'm not that much older than you, but, you know, some of us that have gone before have, you know, made some mistakes and have found some victories along the way. Are there any lessons that you've learned from some of the rest of us about spirituality, religion, conducting yourself in the world?
Yes. And my father, you know, Pap, I mean, your father, he's a baller. Like, he knows the Lord and is willing to express it exactly how he sees it.
Oh yeah. And he pulls no punches. He's very,
he doesn't. And he wears, like, he would always wear diamonds and had Corvettes and, like, he was, you know, his straw Kangol hats and, like, that's just his style. And learning his story from being Donald too. I mean, talk about, you know, so a weight to bear, and to move away from the faith and back into it, that it really gave me a lot of perspective in that, you know, what I really try and, you know, relay to people is that we're not special, you know, there are people who will always move away, you know, it's, but God wants you to come back. And that's what I have really taken from, you know, if there was, you know, a person in our family that, is willing to tell you about straying and that, you know, sin's not okay, but you're going to do it. And God knows you're going to do it. And as long as you acknowledge it and, you know, it's there and you're trying to do better every time, that's what I've gotten from, you know, somebody in our family, because there's a lot of people that I kind of compared myself to. You know, we've got cousins who, to me, like, they're like perfect Christians, you know? And I, like, I don't really want to, like, name drop, but
yeah.
But the, you know, there are very, you know, what I see is like an idyllic Christian, you know, they are in the box. They're comfortable in that box. But I was never comfortable in the box, but I've taken a lot of comfort in knowing that the box is there. Really, you know, I could only kind of describe it that way, because that's kind of what I judge myself against. And it makes you run even further away. Like, I'm so far out of this box that there's no going back until you get to a point in your life where the box isn't going anywhere. Like, the box knows, wants you to come back. So, and I think Pap was a perfect example of that. You know, from hustling, arm wrestling and bars and, you know, the Diamond District of New York. I mean, but he was always a shepherd.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah, and when I agree with that, and I occasionally give away this secret about both my parents. They both have this very strict faith that they confess, but both of them have also shown me love and acceptance of people who are outside that faith, and I've watched their example as much as followed their teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've seen both of them do things that I'm like, but I was kind of like surprised, like, that's like a very straight-laced Christian thing to do, to accept that person or to have dinner with that person or to but they, it's like there's a love that kind of exceeds the limits of the teaching. And you know, and I hope that I'm carrying that tradition forward as well.
You are, absolutely. Like, this is a platform that the masses need.
Thank you.
That's why I was really excited to be a part of this, because it's an avenue for the layman to be, you know, hey, we are with the faith, but we're kind of outside of the box, but you can still be with the faith outside of that box.
You sure can. And, you know, Rhett, when you're in your conversations and what you're doing in your garage and the folks you speak with, do you feel, are you sensing that others are starting to realize this as well, that they don't have to, I mean, I get it that you go to church, you have an institution of that, but sounds like you're also building your own home church of sorts in the garage there too, that the others you're talking with, do they feel this welling up with them that, you know, oh gosh, it is okay to talk about this and it is okay to explore and it is okay to, you know, to reclaim one's faith, and to, you know, be a theologian, like a public theologian, one that doesn't have to go to seminary, one that, you know, that doesn't, you know, have to have degrees in theology and stuff like that. Are you sensing that?
I absolutely have. Yeah. And it's because there's so much fear, I think, in the general public when it comes to like going to church, you know, like they just feel uneasy.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, you know, the way the churches have developed these days, you know, with a little more contemporary music and like our church, I really love because like, and this is how I describe it to people when I invite them, that our church, our preacher is, it's more of like a TED talk than anything. Like it's not as, you know, fundamentalist as people kind of fear and just aren't comfortable going to church. I'm like, it's like a seminar on how to be a good doodle. And then you go back on Sunday and he's going to find another topic. I invited a young man who's become a very good friend of mine, and he's a Marine. He's only like 24 recently, you know, broke off an engagement. And one day I'm like, just come to church. He's like, man, I don't know. I don't got clothes and all this. Like, you don't need clothes. I was like, throw on a pair of sneakers, pair of jeans. Let's go. And he told me that day, he was like, I want to go back. And that's it. Like, just introducing somebody to, you know, it's not as uncomfortable as you think it is. Like, nobody's staring at you. Like, you're not that special walking in. Right. Like,
right.
You're just somebody who wants a little refresher for the week. You know, like, take it as what it is, because that's ultimately our preacher's goal, not to judge anybody or alienate them or make them feel like they're, you know, not a good enough Christian or all that. All they're trying to do is relay what Jesus's message was, which was, you know, live your life between now and next Sunday without being an a-hole.
I love that. But I love, you know, that we've talked with so many people who've gone through the process of deconstruction, of you know, who have experienced a number of things. They've experienced abuse in the church and trauma in the church and hypocrisy, and I can go down the list. And this is one of the things that I hope to do, at least through, you know, like through my writing and podcasting and other teaching, is to tell people, you know, there are other communities that aren't doing that. You know, right. It's not all like that. And there are a lot of different streams of theology and a lot of different ways of experiencing the divine. You don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You don't have
to. You're not married to the church. You're married to the Lord.
Right. Well said. Well said.
Yeah. Well, we are at time. I actually would love to talk more, but it sounds like I gotta head down to Myrtle Beach and hang out with you.
Myrtle Beach.
It has been too long. But anyway, this is a really great conversation. Awesome talking with you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rhett.
Thank you guys so much. I've been looking forward to this. And you know, I've mentioned it to a few family members, and they're like, are you really doing that? I'm like,
I'm glad you did, brother. I did.
And I tell them, I was like, believe it or not, we've been talking about doing this for a long, long time. Yeah, and it's been an honor to join you fellas today.
Excellent.
Well, it's been an honor to have you. And we'll let you know when it's up so you can share it with all your friends. You can play it in your garage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the rest of the Wilsons are like, look at them.
That's right. And now everybody's going to want to be on. I'm going to have a family reunion episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they're.
Can you imagine?
We're setting the bar a little higher. I mean, you know, they're just going to come in there with their Bible box and be like, all right, Kelly, this is how we do it.
Cube.
What Bible cube?
All right. Well, we will talk with you soon. I love you. It's been.
I love you.
Too long. And we will talk soon.
Take care, Rex.
Lead with love.
Lead with love.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Radical Love Live, co-hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson. All rights reserved. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and other popular podcast platforms. Go to RadicalLoveLive.com to learn more about us, watch recordings of our live events, and listen to our podcast. We also invite you to check out what Kelly and Mark are doing by going to our websites. Find Kelly at kellywilson.com and Mark at markdilcom.com. This is Radical Love Live, where we explore faith outside the boxes.